Morning. Today, Daf is Daf Samech Gimel in Zvachim. Okay, before we start the new mission, we have to finish up that last figure that we did yesterday. We're discussing the Mizbeach, discussing the details of the Mizbeach, and we continue with our discussion from yesterday. Okay, we have really become much more familiarized over the past couple of days about the Mizbeach. The general construction of the Mizbeach of the Second Temple was 32 by 32 amas at its base, and then it moved up one amma and then came in an amma. And then that next stage is 30 by 30. Then it went up another 5 amas, and they came in again. That's called the Sovev. Right, that was like a walkway around the side of the Mizbeach. And then, once again, it came in an amma and went up an amma. And then it did that for another 4 amas, and that took us to the top of the Mizbeach. The top of the Mizbeach is 9 amas high. On the corner of each of the Mizbeach, you had a keren, you had a horn, a block, and there were 4 kronos in the 4. For the chatzitz, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, I do an application on each one of the kronos. That keren is 1 by 1 by 1 amma, 1 square, 1 cubic amma, and then the center of the top of the Mizbeach, so right, you're already dealing with an area of 28 by 28, right, because we came in another amma for the Sovev, and so for the top of the Mizbeach, we are now with the kronos on the corners, and also a walkway for the Kohanim, so that took off another 2 amas on each side. So the top of the Mizbeach for the Marach, for the burning, was 24 by 24 amas. That exceeded the Mizbeach of Shlomo. We learned the other day that the top of the Mizbeach of Shlomo was 20 by 20 amas. So this one was larger. The Gemara discussed already why the second Mizbeach of the second temple was larger. The Gemara came up with 3 answers. We're not going to go through it right now. And okay, so this is what we've discussed. How did they know about location, where to place the Mizbeach for the second temple? The Gemara says that there was basically no remnant of the Mizbeach from the first temple. Nebuchadnezzar totally eradicated it. And again, the Gemara gave multiple answers to discuss that as well. That's all what we did yesterday. The Gemara, which we continue now today, talks about the ramp. There's a ramp going up to the Mizbeach. We'll be talking about the ramp today in detail. The ramp that goes up to the Mizbeach, where did we get to yesterday? Yeah, so the ramp is on the south side, not on the north side. So how do you know that? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you how you know that. All right, and this is basically where we got up to yesterday. Because the ramp is the Pnei HaMizbeach. It's got to be the face of the Mizbeach. Okay, right, as we talk about, going into a room, so you have a doorway. Doorway facilitates entrance into a room. So the ramp is essentially the doorway to the Mizbeach. I mean, the Mizbeach is not a room in a traditional sense, it's a block. But nevertheless, though, where am I on the Mizbeach? I'm on the top of the Mizbeach, so I need to get to the top. So a doorway allows me entrance to the room. The ramp allows me entrance to the top of the Mizbeach. So the ramp is nothing more than just a door, really, to get into the Mizbeach, or in this case, onto the Mizbeach. Fine. So, it's on the south side. The Gemara says, how do I know that? So the Gemara's argument goes like this. This was, we just did this yesterday. Well, because we know that the north side of the Mizbeach is called Yerech. It's called the thigh, the legs of the Mizbeach. So we're going to use a little bit of imagery over here. So if the north side is the legs of the Mizbeach, so then now that means that if we have a person lying down, right? In other words, if we could just have the Mizbeach represent the person, and the north is a leg, so where's the face going to be? Face is going to be in the south, assuming the guy's lying down. Now the Gemara says, how come you put the guy lying down? Right? That seems to be somewhat arbitrary. And the Gemara's answer to that is no, because the Torah uses the word ravua. And the word ravua is very similar to the word ravutz, which means to be horizontal, not to be vertical. So, and again, we go back to then we know the north is the Yerech, and the guy's lying down. Okay, good. So the south is the Pnei. Okay, so that's one way that we know that the ramp is on the south side of all the other, as opposed to north, east, or west. Okay? Gemara now is going to advance another argument. This is where we left off yesterday, and this is where we're going to continue today. The Tana Maisel Amahacha. Yes. Middle of the Amud Samach Beis Amud Beis. It says the lines get wide, it's 5 lines down. It's the first words in the line. The Tana Maisel Amahacha. And here we have a Braisa that learns it from here. And from here, the Tanya will learn from the Braisa of Yura Omer. Uma'ala Sehu Panos Kadim. And going up and ascending, you turn to the east. Oh, okay, good. So now, right? That's it. Well, I mean, that's not it. The Gemara is going to explain a little bit better, but that really says it all. Meaning, when you go up and when you turn, so you're going to be facing east. So, but there's just one assumption that we're making, and that is that you're going to make a right turn, right? Which is what the Gemara is about to now tell us. Called Pinush Atapone Lo Yeh Ela Derech Imin LeMizrach. So good. So when I turn, I always turn to the right. That's a general rule. I always turn to the right, and so therefore, when I walk up the Mizbech and I'm turning to the right, and the pasuk tells me and Yecheskel that I'm going to be facing east. Okay, good. So now I go up and I turn right and I face east. That means I came up from the south side. All right. Those of you who always ask for directions and are always confused when you look at a map, so okay, you may be a little bit confused now, but it works. It works out perfectly. The aim is small, so the Gemara says, okay, but that's an assumption that you're making a right-hand turn. Maybe you're making a left-hand turn. Now, if in fact you make a left-hand turn, so lemizrach, the aim is small lemizrach. Maybe it's a left-hand turn to the east, which means then that you would be going up the north side of the Mizbeach, and you'd be making a left turn in order to face east. The Pasuk Yecheskel only tells us that a turn results in turning to the east. So the Gemara says, so how do you know it's coming up from the south and making a right-hand turn? Lo sakadacha d'ni rami bar Yecheskel, Yamshasa Shlomo. So the Gemara says, no. It's a principle. It's a established principle that when you turn, you always turn to the east. Sorry. You always turn to the right. And we learn it from Yamsho Shlomo. We learn a lot of things from Yamsho Shlomo. Shlomo had it was a little bit smaller than a lake, a little bit larger, a lot larger than a pool. It's Yamsho Shlomo. Right? The Omeid Al Shneim Asar Bakar. Okay. Oddly enough, it was beautiful. It was set on, I don't even know what to call it. It's not really a pool. It's right? It's like those ornamental fountains that they have in the front of the house. But it was huge. It was based on 12 cows. Statues, if you will. I know statues is weird, right? Okay, fine. But it was based on 12 cows. Shlosha ponim tzfono, shlosha ponim yama, u'shlosha ponim negba, u'shlosha ponim mizracha. Now follow, right? Three are to the.
Does that mean that all the water was above the cows, or did it?
The fountain was actually settled on the cows, on the back of the cows.
Yeah, they were holding up a tank of water.
The cows were holding the cow statues were holding up the tank of water.
Okay, and it was bigger than a pool.
Yeah, yeah.
Like an Olympic-sized pool?
It was 300... The circumference of it was 300 amas.
Circumference. Big pool.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a big problem.
Yeah, correct.
Where was this?
In the front. Exactly where, I don't know. Use it as like a mikvah. Yamsho Shlomo, the Gemara in Erevin tells us that it was 300 circumference, diameter of 100, right? And then they get to the pi discussion, but 300 amas circumference. Okay, so Yamsha Shlomo Omid Al Shnei Masar Bakar Shlosha Ponim Tzafona. Now here's what we want. Look at how the pasuk describes the cows. First we go to the three north, Ushlosha Ponim Yama. Then we go to the west. Yam is west because when you're in Israel, right? The Yam Hagadol is to the west. Shlosha Ponim Negba. Then we have south. Ushlosha Ponim Mizracha. And then we have east. All right, so we are now going in the counterclockwise direction. So in order to go into a counterclockwise direction, you have to, if you're coming from the outside and walking in order to go counterclockwise, you have to make a right-hand turn. So here's where the establishment is that you're always going to have to make a right-hand turn. Now, I struggle with the irony, because when you go in a counterclockwise direction, which is essentially where we're going to be going, meaning here in the description of the Yamsho Shlomo was counterclockwise. Here when we get to the top of the Mizbeach, which I haven't drawn yet, it's going to be counterclockwise. Counterclockwise is really left. Right. Right. It's an irony. Meaning that in order to turn counterclockwise, you make a right-hand turn, and the Gemara says, and that's what we well established, but from that point forward, it's always then going to be a left-hand turn. I guess, and again, this is simply a guess, that, especially when you're on the top of the Mizbeach, you're not really walking forward. Meaning you're going to be facing the Mizbeach.
Right.
So right. So when you are turning, it's really to your right. If you're you're facing the side. You're not walking forward and then making a left hand turn. You're kind of sidestepping, if you will. Okay, but still, Okay, we see from Yamshel Shlomo that the direction is always going to be counterclockwise direction. In order to go counterclockwise, that first turn has to be a right-hand turn. So the Gemara says the same thing with the Mizbeach. The Pasuk in Yecheskel says that when you turn, you're going to be facing east. Now that we know from Yamshel Shlomo that we're always going to be turning right, our first turn is always going to be turning right. So good. Another proof that the ramp is coming up from the south side. How am I by Lilagufe? So the Gemara says, how do you learn out from that pasuk in by Shlomo and the Yamshel Shlomo? So the Gemara says, Imkain ponim ponim lamali. Yeah, because of extra words, right? Every time it mentioned the cows, it uses the words ponim. Omid Hashem Asar Bakar Shlosha ponim tzafona. Three are facing north. It could have just said Shlosha tzafona and Shlosha yamin yama. Right, and every time it says ponim shmamina. The Gemara says that's it. That's where we learn it from. Shaul Rabbi Shimon ben Yosi ben Lakunya es Rav Yosi. Omer Hayar Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Avig Yesh ben Kevesh lemizbeach. The ramp didn't touch the mizbeach. Went up to the mizbeach, but there was a small amount of airspace separating the ramp from the mizbeach. So Amar lo ve'ata iata Omer Kain. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai gives the classic Jewish answer. What, you don't agree? Right, of course. So v'halok v'arnamar v'asis olosech abas v'adam. So now we're going to make arguments in terms of how we know that there's this airspace. That the ramp doesn't actually make physical contact with the mizbeach, goes up to the mizbeach, but there's just a small amount of airspace. Gotta be. Why gotta be? So he says, but the pasuk says, "Vasis olah secha basav adam, ma adam bezrika af basav bezrika." Because look, when it comes to the blood, there's this halacha called zrika, which means that I have to be standing away from the mizbeach, sprinkling the blood to the mizbeach. There was separation between me and the mizbeach; otherwise, zrika doesn't happen. Okay, so that's done. Basar, same thing. That there's got to be some sort of separation between me and where the meat goes to. Destination for the meat is going to be the top of the mizbeach. I'm going to be, the Gemara is assuming now, I'm going to be on the ramp, throwing it onto the top of the mizbeach. So there's got to be some sort of separation. There's got to be some airspace separating me and the actual top of the mizbeach. Amar lo. So he says that's not a compelling argument. Shani Omer Omid Betzad Maracha V'Zorek. Look, I can put you right on the side of the Maracha, and you're still going to have to throw it. The fact that you have to throw the meat onto the fire, onto the large bonfire on the top of the mizbech, that doesn't mean that there has to be a separation. And even if you're on the mizbech itself, you're going to have to throw. Amalek Yeshu Zorek Lamaracha Deluka Uzorek Lamaracha She'eno Deluka Uzorek. Look, when you're on the top, you're going to throw the meat onto the where there's a fire. Meaning there's many places on the maracha. There may be some places on the top of the mizbech which is just simply not lit. And you're going to throw it to a place which is lit. So Avi Omer Lamaracha Deluka Huzarek. So Hasam Yishum Delo Efshar. And over there, it's a logistic issue. Meaning you can't walk on top of the pyre. You're going to end up throwing it. Right? Picture yourself right back in the days when you were in camp and there was this large bonfire. And you had to throw things onto the fire. You couldn't just simply walk over and place it there. So the fact that I'm throwing the meat, has nothing to do with the fact that there's airspace separating the kevish and the mizbech. It's just a logistic issue. So Rav Papa Amar Kidam. So Rav Papa says, okay, we're going to do it again. We're going to try to make the same argument again. The Torah's comparison to Dam and Basar, but Rav Papa's going to try it from a different angle in terms of arguing that there has to be separation between the ramp and the mizbech. Kidam Adam Avir Karka Mafsiko. Av basar avir karka mafsiko. So he says like this. Because when I throw blood, if I look down at the ground, there is nothing between me and the mizbeach. Meaning it's totally free and clear, all the way down to the ground, total airspace. Okay. Gotta be the same thing with the basar. When I'm throwing the basar, I have to, in theory, be able to look down and see total airspace for me on the ground level. Okay, so that's how I know that when standing on the ramp and throwing it onto the mizbeach, there's got to be a line of airspace separating the ramp and the mizbeach.
What do you need to prove?
The Dam is going on the side of the Mizbech.
Okay.
That's why I have to. The side is defined by it hits the.
It's a side.
Unless it hits the wall. Right,
right.
Before the Bible.
Right.
This goes on the top of the.
Right,
bed.
Vertical versus horizontal. Right, I hear that.
I don't understand it.
All right, okay. Well, the Pasuk does compare the two. The Pasuk does compare Dam and Basar. So, okay, so. Good. All right. I don't think I can say it any better than the Gemara or understand it any better than I just explained it, but that's the Gemara's assumptions. Okay. More details about the actual Mizbech itself. So there's this big ramp going up. Now the ramp that goes up, it's the main ramp that goes up, it goes all the way to the top. Dimensions already, I set ourselves up for the discussion of the dimensions in just a moment. But before doing that, the Gemara is going to describe, there were two side ramps going off the top, going off the side of the ramp. The ramp itself, the main ramp itself that goes from the ground all the way to the top, it goes up a total height of 9 tefachim. Obviously at a slope.
9
amos, thank you. Obviously at a slope, we'll talk about the slope in just a second, but it goes up to a total height of 9 amos. Even if you don't have the Art School Gemara, on the bottom of the Gemara, there are actually pictures drawn in. Not bad, right? Of two smaller ramps going off. The Gemara describes these two smaller ramps going off. And that picture over there, actually, he didn't draw them in. He didn't draw those side ramps. Okay. Okay. Here.
Yeah.
We have here. Plenty of room. Right. No, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
No, don't worry.
He's going to have this power.
Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda, Shnei Kvasim Ketanim Yosim and Akevah Shebehem Ponim LeYisodu LeSovev. So you have two ramps, side ramps, and one of them go to the Yisod and one of them go to the Sovev. Umuvdalim and Mizbech Malo Nima. And again, same point. These smaller ramps don't make physical contact with neither the Yisod nor the Sovev. Mishum Shenemar Saviv. And again, now here the Gemara says it. Maybe it's a little more palatable over here. There is this requirement of Saviv. You have to, in theory, be able to go around the entire Mizbeach. Oh. Rabbi Abao Amar Ravua. Rabbi Abao says it similarly. Ravua, it's got to be square. Meaning the Mizbeach in its totality has to be square. If I have ramps, the main ramp, the side ramp, whatever. If I have ramps making contact with the Mizbeach, I lose its Saviv nature, and I lose its Ravua nature. Oh, okay, good. So that's where we see that There's no actual contact between the ramp and the Mizbeach.
Now the ramp that went over the Sovev, how was that structurally supported? It didn't hit the Sovev, obviously.
No, but what do you mean? It was from the ground.
From the ground up.
It was the ground. It was a solid ramp from the ground.
Go on top of the Sovev?
No, it actually allowed you to walk to the Sovev.
It stopped at the level of the Sovev.
Right. It was like an elevator stopping at different floors. Right? Uh-huh. It's here the slope of that side ramp only, first of all, extended off the side of the main ramp, and it went to the level of the Sovev. The other one went to the level of the Yisod. Obviously, by the way, the one that went to the level of Yisod went to the south, southwest, because there was no Yisod in the southeast. Okay.
Why do we need this ramp?
So, for the Yisod, I don't know. Right, that one, I'm stumped.
Only
an amitol. So right, which is a foot and a half to 2 feet step up.
Yeah, but you can't step up.
You can't step up. It says you can't step up at the end of that parsha.
Even a foot and a half, I guess.
Why do you have to step?
Because it's knees.
Right, the right end of parsha.
Why would you have to? I understand, but why do you have to go up?
Can you
just pour it from
the? Where
the birds?
The birds, you're standing on the yesod. I don't know. Okay. I don't know. I don't know. And for the Sovev, there are times where you're going to be actually standing on the Sovev. Right? For the birds.
Well,
for
to clean it, at least.
Maybe. I don't know.
You have to get there somehow.
Okay.
You can't step up.
Possibly. So I'm Rav Yehuda Shnei Kvashim Katanim. I'm sorry, I did this. Shnei Kvashim Katanim Yotzim Nakevash. Shebe'en Borlin Yisod Lesovev U'mavdal Men HaMizbech Malo Nima. Just a hair's breadth. Mishum Shenamar Saviv Rabbi Abba Amar Ravua. It's the Rech Lemechtav Saviv. It's the Rech Lemechtav Ravua. And the Gemara says actually they complement one another. You might have thought the Mizbeach is round if the Torah would have just simply said Saviv. Saviv means round. Ravuah, they tell there tells shape. Yeah, but Ravuah just simply means it has to be four sides, four right angles. I might have thought rectangular. Okay, so Kasa Rachmana Saviv. Saviv tells us that it's a square. All sides are equal, so that's a square, not a rectangle. Okay, Tanan Hasam. Okay, we go back to a Mishnah Midos. We saw this Mishnah Midos not that long ago. Hakevish Bamizbech Shishim Mishtaim. So they are a total. When you measure from the very tip of the Mizbech over here, now I didn't actually draw the Mizbech, but from the tip of the Mizbech, the tip of the ramp, the Kevish, which is 32 amas in length, plus the Mizbech itself, so the Mishnah Midos says, so it's 62. Now you realize right away, what does that mean, 62? The Mizbech itself is itself 32. 32 plus 32 should be 64. And we did this. We did this recently. So Tanan Hasan, we learned in the Mishnah, Kepeshav Mizbech, Shishim Mishtayim. So it's 62. Hanishitim Barbahavu. So the Gemara here says, I don't understand the Mishnah Midos, which is describing the total length, ramp plus Mizbech, it should be 64. So Nimsa Parech Ama Al Yisod V'Ama Al Sovev. So we saw this as well. So the Gemara's answer is, look, you're right. There's overlap. Because over here, there's going to be two cutouts of the ramp. Because there's a Sovev. Sorry. So there's a Sovev, and then there's the Yisod. Now, as we already discussed, there's no Yisod in the south. Okay, but still. In other words, it overlaps. So that the 32 amas of the Mizbeach all the way in the southwest corner does extend out just a little bit. Okay, fine. But still. So when all said and done, from here to here is 30 plus another from here to here plus another 2 amas. Okay, good. So it's 30 plus 2 plus 32. So that's how we got to 62. So and that's the Mishnah Midos.
According to Rav Papa, that piece, going back to Rav Papa, is hanging in the air.
Which piece?
According to Rav Papa, there has to be air over here.
Right, so...
No, here. There's air here, because it can't...
Correct,
crack.
Correct.
So all of this is hanging in the air without any support?
I guess.
Yeah,
I'm guessing.
It's only 2 amas.
I'm guessing.
And, right, if and this it's 33 amas wide, so that's only 10% of its hanging.
I don't know. But Papa's simply saying that the top over here, there's a line dropping all the way down.
The line must go
here. And here, well, look, here you had a Sovev. Sovev went on the south side as well?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm with you on that. Right, so here you had a Sovev. So that kind of... That kind of fit. Right.
The same thing with the
right. And the Yisod, but the Yisod is easier because there's really no Yisod on the south side.
5%.
Touching or not touching?
No, not touching. No touch. No contact. So go.
The Sovev is not touching the canvas.
I guess. Right, I guess. All right. So good. So Nimsa Parech Amal Yisod V'Amal Sovev. Amar Rami Bar Chama Kol Hakevish Kvashim Shalosh Amos La'Amo Chutz Mikivsho Shal Mizbeach Shehu Shalosh Amos U'Mechsa Ve'Etzba U'Shlish Etzba B'Zachrusa. Okay, what's the what's going to be your ratio of length to hypotenuse, to the slope, right? What's the slope? So again, I just played with numbers a little bit yesterday. So first of all, the slope itself, 33 amas, 33 1/4 amas. Okay, that was easy. Okay, just a little bit of geometry. It's not going to be that bad. That was easy. That's Pythagorean theorem, right? We know the height is 9, and we know the length of it. The base of it is 32. Okay, let's forget all this right now. Let's just deal with the simple triangle. So we know that the base of it is 32. So good. So a squared b squared equals c squared. So 32 squared plus 9 squared equals c squared. So you do the math. So the slope is 33 1/4. Okay, special place for you today. Yeah.
For the Mishkan, where things are set up good, you have
to
have a symbol.
Yeah.
How do they handle
what?
In terms of...
Well, it was a totally different type of mizbech. It wasn't cement. It was copper.
Very small.
Right, smaller, much smaller. Poured dirt in it when they settled. and then they just emptied it out. So it was a totally different construction. Slope, okay? One more piece of geometry for today. So slope, so this is your sine, cosine, tangent. Remember those? Okay, so our numbers are 9 and 32. So the tangent of 9 over 32 is 15.7. That slope is going to be about 15 degrees. Just a shade over 15 degrees, yeah.
Why is it 9 again?
Because the top of the Mizbeach is only 9 amas high. The 10 amas of the Mizbeach is a Kronos, the Keren. So there were horns on the top, but those horns were only in the corners, in the four corners. So the top of the Mizbeach really was only 9 amas. Yes?
I don't think it's correct, because why are we taking 32 when we saw this going inside? So we should take only 30.
No. No, the triangle is 9 by 32. The fact is that it's just cut in a little bit, but the actual triangle itself, meaning forget the cutout, the triangle itself is 9 by 32.
There's overlap. There's a two almost overlap.
Correct.
But
it's
yeah, correct.
Angle.
No, you're right.
No, but the
it's fine.
No, but the thing is that no, because it couldn't mean that it might not be 30. It might be 30. Be 9 by 30. But there's
yeah.
overlap.
Interesting, by the way. The Gemara says just one more thing that. Whole Kivshei Kvashim, right? If you go back over to the Gemara again on the top of Samach Gemara Aleph, Amar Rami Bar Chama Kol Kivshei Kvashim Shalosh Amos LaAma. Right? Generally speaking, what's the ratio of slopes 1 to 3, right? Or 3 to 1, depending on which way you go. Right? Again, it's the same thing. It's the same your same tangent. So your tangent of x is equal to 1 over 3, which again I played with the numbers yesterday. I use a calculator, don't worry. And it's 18 and a half degrees. So your general slope of other ramps, by the way, I don't know what other ramps the Gemara is referring to.
The other two.
One going down?
The other, maybe. Maybe the other two? Maybe. I don't, look at the way he says it. Kol Kivshei Kvashim, all other ramps, meaning the usual ratio, the general ratio is 1 to 3. Okay. So the general ratio is 1 to 3. So the degree of the slope is 18.4. So here the Kohanim over here cut a little bit of a break, right? their incline is not going to be as steep as your general slopes are.
Maybe just regular ramps that people use every day when they're building their house, maybe.
Right.
So I think if they're going up, it's easier to go on a smaller slope than coming down.
What's your
1 foot to every inch?
That's it.
In federal regulation, it's for every inch, 1 foot.
For every inch, 1 foot.
1 to 12.
That's 1 to 12.
Right.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, okay.
This more fit. The ramp wouldn't have been there.
It might be that they were referring to 3 feet along the hypotenuse for every one rise, which would be a smaller number and closer to
the ramp. You think the 3 feet is a reference to the hypotenuse?
That you're actually walking through.
Right. I don't think so. I don't think so. I hear what you're saying, but I don't think so.
Like he said 1 to 12.
That's right. Okay. I don't think so. Okay. Okay, good. So that takes us through it. So now we have, right, some more better knowledge base in terms of the actual Mizbeach itself. Gemara's discussion today so far has took us to why the ramp is in the south. Gemara had 2 answers. The general principle of all turns need to be to the right. The degree of slope of the Mizbeach and a little bit of geometry for today. Okay, let's continue. Today's daf is daf Samach Yimel. Let's start the Mishnah.
I heard that the slope needs to be steep because the people can't tarry in the ramp.
Right. Well, also, I mean, the whole reason why there's a ramp as opposed to steps is because we discussed this yesterday. We don't want the Kohanim to step. Right, a step up means that they're going to have to lift up their leg, and right, they didn't wear, you know, they had some sort of pants, but mechdan mechnasayim, but right, still lifting of the leg was immodest. Right,
steep step. I mean,
it's a steep ramp. I'm all right. I mean, 12 to 1, and we're talking about 1 to 3 or somewhere in that ballpark of 1 to 3. It was a steep ramp. Okay.
How many amas?
Dalet amas. Right.
Which is.
But that's for a wall.
Yeah,
right. That's for a wall. Right. This is.
That's
right. Okay. Menachos hayu nikmasas b'chol makom. Okay. We're moving on in the Mishnah. We're talking now about mincha. Now I know this is not Masechta Menachos, and when we get to Menachos, We'll discuss it in much greater detail, but the Mishnah here is telling us, contrast. We've been discussing up until now where to shecht your karvanos. So kachet, kachem, or bitzafon, chatas, ola, asham, all of them require north, north of the Azara. In terms of shlamim, anywhere else in the Azara is fine. What about a mincha? Now, you don't shecht a mincha, mincha's flour. What happens is that the mincha, the flour is placed in a bowl with oil, lavona, frankincense, not all the time. Some minchas don't have oil and frankincense, either way. And the avoda is called what's called the kamitza, where the kohen takes his fist, puts it into the flour, takes out a fistful of flour, not with his thumb and pinky, but with his three middle fingers. Whatever is encapsulated in the three middle fingers as he cups them over his palm, brings it to the mizbech and burns that on the mizbech. Once he does that, so then the rest of the mincha is eaten. It's called shayare ha-mincha, eaten by the kohanim in the azar. Menachos are of the category of kachikachim. Okay. Now with all that stated, even before even opening up the Mishnah, you would have said, where do I quote-unquote shecht it? Where do I shecht the mincha? Shechting of the mincha, the equivalent of shechting is kamitza. Where do I do that? So I would say you do it in the north. Now you understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah has a chiddush. Mishnah tells us not necessary. Menachos hayu nitmatzos bechol makom. You can go anywhere in the Azara and do kamitza anywhere in the Azara. Now where is it eaten? Inside the kalayim, inside the curtains. We discussed this before. The Mishnah's usage of the word kalayim is because that was a Mishkan terminology where they actually had curtains in the Beis HaMikdash. Walls surrounded the Azara, but the point is still the same. You eat it in the Azara. And only by Zechrei Kahuna, of course, because it's Kachikachim. And you have one day and one night to eat it until midnight. Meaning, Minat Torah, you can have the whole night to eat it, but Midah Rabbanan, the rabbis put a safeguard, stop eating a mincha at midnight, so that you won't come to eat it in the morning. Amar Rav Elazar, mincha shenik mitzvah behechal ksheira. Okay. The first halacha that we'll be learning today in the Gemara is, what if I do the kamitza in the actual heichal itself? Okay, so here we can turn to our friend over here. So we just learned that you could do the kamitza anywhere in the Azara. Okay? Generally speaking, your kabbanas were in the Azara, were done in the courtyard. Generally speaking, people didn't even walk into the heichal. Right? In other words, the heichal itself is kodesh, it's a holy place. Right? Without a purpose, you wouldn't even be allowed to walk into the heichal. Over here, the Gemara now is discussing, can I do the kamitza in the heichal itself? If I do it, is it kasher? So, on one hand, you could say, look, you're in the Azara, mm-hmm. right? The courtyard is this entire area over here. So you're in the Azara, but at the same time, though, you're in a place that has more kedusha than the Azara. You're actually in the building itself. You're in the edifice.
Simple question. Is the coin the only bit of the kamitza, or can a czar do it also?
No, coin has to do kamitza. Shechita. It's only shechita, which I understand where your question is coming from. Meaning if it's equivalent, right, it has to be done by coin. Because immediately after kamitza, it's then put, right, they put it into a kli. Oh, no, it is put into a kli. No, okay, fine. All right. So k'shera shekem atzilu b'stiluk. I'm sorry. So Amar Rav Elazar mincha shenik mitzvah behechal k'shera shekem atzilu b'stiluk b'zichin. So the Gemara says, and how do I know that's true? Because we do have a kamitza that's done from the heichal every single week. Now here it's a little bit of a stretch, but it works. Okay. In the heichal, kept in the heichal every week is a lechem upon him. 12 loaves of bread are kept inside the heichal. They're placed on top of the shulchan. They're stacked into two columns of six. Hence, 12 loaves of bread. The lechem upon him is eaten at the end of the week. Right, one of the miracles that take place in the Beis HaMikdash is that bread stays fresh, even though the bread just sits on the table for a full week, no refrigeration, and it's still fine. And the kohanim at the conclusion of the week get to eat the lechem Hapanim. Okay, the 12 loaves are divided into either 6 and 6 or 5 and 7 of last week's Mishmar versus this week's Mishmar. Okay, the point that we're making over here is as follows. In order to eat the lechem Hapanim, so there has to be a matir. There has to be something that's offered on the Mizbech. It's true by every carbon. A part of it is offered on the Mizbech in order for me to eat the rest of it. It's true by an animal. It's called the blood. It's true by flour. It's called the kemitza. And what about the lechem aponim? So for the lechem aponim, there are two spoonfuls of lavona that are kept on the top of the lechem aponim. In order to eat the lechem aponim, the first thing you need to do is you need to take those two spoonfuls of lavona, take it out, and burn it on the mizbeach. Period. In order to eat it. So those two spoonfuls of lavona are the matir. And here's where we're going to stretch it a little bit. They are the kemitza. Okay. Now, granted that you're not taking your hand and you're putting it into the flour, you're not doing any of that. But still, it's like kemitza. It's kemitza-like, in which I must take off some of it, bring it outside, burn it on the mizbech in order to eat it. So you see that kemitza, and I put it in quotes, kemitza is done in the Heichal weekly. So Rav Elazar says, good. So you see, based on that, that if kemitza of other menachos are done in the Heichal, it's also good. Alright. Meis Rav Yirmiya.
Is that double hekesh? Is that double hekesh?
Is it a double hekesh? It's, you know, it's a little stretching of the imagination. It's a fact, but it's not to say that the Lavona is kemitza, it's not really kemitza. It's okay. But
can I ask a question? When they say mincha and incense, do they say 11 or do they say 1?
What?
Ketor is different than mincha.
He's
asking about ketor.
Two spoonfuls of lavona. How big were the spoons? I don't know. But two spoonfuls of lavona. But ketoris is different. No, ketoris is different. No, this is not ketoris. This is just lavona. That's all it is. Lavona is part of the ketoris, but this is just lavona. Mesa Rav Yirmiya. Rav Yirmiya asks the question based on a brayso. The kamatz misham mimakom shiraglei hazar omdos. You do the kemitza from the place mimakom shiraglei hazar omdos where the non-kohen stands. Then b'ser omer minayin shim kamatz b'smol shiachti v'kamatz b'yamin tamal omer misham mimakom shekamatz mimakom shekamatz kvar. Okay, the opinion of Ben Becerra right now is not the opinion that we want to focus on. If I do kemitza with my left hand, which I'm not allowed to do, so he says that I can put it back in. In other words, just
redo.
And do I have a redo? Right, you can do a redo and then go back in with your right. Okay, good. But we're not interested right now in Ben Becerra. We're interested in that first position of the braisa, which says, let's reread it. Kamatz misham mimakom shiraglei hazar omdim, and you do a kemitza from there. And the braisa says, what does that mean from there, where the non-kohen is able to stand? So ikadarmi who most of la bu mefarik la ikadarmi amale Rabbi Akiva la Rabbi Yirmiya batachlifa azbrolach. Okay, who gave an answer? So some say he gave the answer. Some say it was others who gave the answer. But in other words, v'nitzcha ela lahachshir kol azar kula. So the Gemara says you misunderstood the braisa. The braisa over here is, in other words, the question was the place where the czar is standing. The czar is not standing in the Heichal. There is no czar going into the Heichal. So from the Braisa, at its face value, what it sounds like it's saying is, Heichal is not a place that you can do kemitza. And meanwhile, Rav Elazar's position is, I can do kemitza in the Heichal. Okay, so the Gemara says no. What the Braisa is saying is like this, that the entire Azara is a place where I could do the kemitza. Meaning, Salkadat Chamina, so the Gemara says, look, because where's your starting point? What's your Havamina? The Havamina is that the Mincha can only be done in the north. Right. Like I explained back in the Mishnah. Because it's Kachi Kachim. It's only eaten in the Azar, it's only eaten by Zechre Kahuna, it's Kachi Kachim. It's only eaten for a day and a night.
It's not a korban, that's the thing.
It is a korban. For sure it's a korban.
No, but it's not with an different animal category.
It's not an animal. Understood it's not an animal. And the Gemara is going to point that out in just a moment. But it's a karban. And it falls under the category of kachi kachim. It's very much like chatas ola and asham. It's only eaten by, chatas and asham. It's only eaten by kohanim. It's only eaten in the azara. Okay. So the Gemara says, as a havamina, from a starting point, I would have said, kemitza can only be done in the north. Just like all your animals. You're right. It's not an animal. But that's the Havamina. So the Gemara says, Ma ola shekein kala. So the Gemara says, wait a second. What are we comparing it to? Now the Gemara is going to go to your points. We're comparing it to an olah. You can't compare it to an olah. She can't call it. Olah, you totally burn on the mizbeach. That's not true by a mincha. Mechatas, malachatas, mechaperas. What do you mean? Chatas provides kapara. Not all menachas do. In fact, most menachas don't. Al chai the krisus, me'asham. I'm sorry. Mechaperas al chai the krisus. Me'asham. How about asham? Malasham, she can't mean a damim. Mikulo, malakulo, she can't mean a damim. Look, they're animals. How are you comparing animals to a mincha? Ella itzrich. So the Gemara says, okay, again, we're just going over what's the Havamina. Why does the Bryce have to teach us that the entire Azara is acceptable? So the Gemara says, okay, Havamina goes like this. Because I have to bring it to the Mizbeach, meaning my Mincha, and then I have to do a Kamitza. Mahagash Bekaren Ma'arav is Dramas. Now, which corner of the Mizbeach do I go to? Southwest. I go to southwest corner. How do I know that? The Gemara will explain that later on. But the Hagasha goes to the southwest corner. Av Kamitza Bekaren Ma'arav is Dramas. So to the Kamitza must be done in the southwest corner. Ah, now we're talking. Meaning, that's the Havamina. Since Hagasha is done to the southwest, Kamitza is also done to the southwest. It's funny, the Gemara totally gives up on the comparison to the Kajikashim in north, okay? And the Gemara presents there a Havamina. That's the Kamash Malan. The Kiddush is that that's what you might have thought, the entire Zara area is acceptable. And we're not precluding the Hechal. That's the point. The point is that Rav Elazar may in fact be correct. The Hecha also may be acceptable to do the Kamitza.
Do they say that for something to be Kodesh Kodashim it must be done on the Mizbeach and the Solus Mincha is not?
No. Kodesh Kodashim, blood is sprinkled on the Mizbeach, but Chatas and Asham are eaten by the Kohanim.
Yeah, that's Chatas and Asham, but Solus Mincha is also Kodesh
Kodashim? Yeah.
Just where do we know the distinctions in Kodesh Kodashim?
The Torah describes Kodesh Kadashim.
And it says that phrase
Kodesh Kadashim.
It doesn't use the phrase
by Shlomim.
No, right. It doesn't use the phrase by Menachos.
By Menachos?
Yeah.
It does, right?
It does.
Right. Oh, Stuart, so good to have you here.
Okay.
So Amar Rav Yochanan Shlomim Sheshachtam Behechal Ksherim. Okay, and we're going to make the same point by Shlomim as well. Meaning, by the Mincha offering, we said in the Heichal, it's fine. Shlomim also. In the Heichal, it's fine. Again, by Shlomim, you have the same thing where it can be done in the entire Azara. Heichal is in the Azara. And here, Shenamar, Vishachat Pesach Ol Moed. Very interesting argument the Gemara is going to give. How do I know that Shlomim can be shechted in the Heichal? Again, it's not the best place to do it. No one wants an animal slaughtered in the actual building itself. But the point is that it's okay, it's acceptable, it's kosher.
All right. The halacha discussion, you said the halacha was not necessary, but you could be a shechita anywhere in the
heichal. Anywhere in the Azara.
Right.
And the heichal is in the heichal, the actual building itself. So the Gemara's argument is like this. We learned earlier in the Masechta that in order to shech shlamin, it has to be Pesach Ol Moed. It has to be facing Ol Moed. You have to have access to see the inside of Ol Moed. So the Gemara's argument goes like this. It's a great argument. Lo ye tafel chamor mina ikar. So really, when I'm shechting shlamim, what's the ikar? Ol Moed. The actual Beit HaMikdash. I have to see the Beit HaMikdash. So it's hard to imagine. The Gemara, it's basically a kal v'chomer. Hard to imagine that in order to facilitate shechita, I have to see the heichal, and meanwhile, if I'm in the heichal, it's no good. Meaning, I'm doing more than just seeing the heichal; I'm inside. So lo yehi tafel chamor min ikar meisfei. The Gemara says, really, that argument is true. Rabbi Yochanan ben Bisera Omer minayin shem hekifu obdi kochav mes kol azara shel kohanim nichnasim l'sham va'ochlim sham kodesh kadashim. Tamar lomar ba'kodesh hakodashim tochlana. So unbelievably dramatic. The Bryce over here discusses the following. Let's say the Azara is encircled by non-Jews, unfriendly non-Jews, those who want to kill us, and they're throwing over stones and arrows and it's an assault. Okay, now we're outside in the Azara. So where are the Kohanim going to run? They're going to run into the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash actually will provide them shelter.
Sanctuary.
Literally and figuratively. Sanctuary.
That concept in their meal and that concept in their
I hear that. I hear that. Let's just... Okay. I do follow your point. But just... Okay, work with me. So the Ochlim Sham Kashi Kadashim. And they can still eat their Chatas and Ashram. Now remember, Chatas and Ashram can only be eaten in the Azara. So the point over here is that they're in the Heicha, they're in there because they like their lives, and they like not to be killed right now by flying arrows. So they're in the Heicha, they can still eat their Kodesh Kashim. Tamar Lomar B'Kodesh HaKadashim Tochlenu. V'yamai Neimah B'Chatzar Omo Yochlu Olo Yetafu Chamar Min HaIkar. So the Gemara says, why are you doing that? Why are you making a drasha? Why the need for a drasha? Meaning, can't we use the argument that you just used of lo ye tafel chamer min ha'ikar? Meaning, the Azara is just a courtyard. It's the place where I keep the Beis HaMikdash. So if I'm eating Kodesh Kadashim in the Azara, can't you argue that you eat in the Heichal? And meanwhile, the Braisa cites a Pasuk. Why are you citing a Pasuk? Just make the argument that you just made. Lo ye tafel chamer min ha'ikar. If I can eat in the courtyard, for sure I can eat in the Kodesh HaKadosh, in the Heichal.
But you can totally reverse the argument.
Well, the Gemara is about to. Okay, Hachi Hashta. Gemara says, comparison's not fair. Hasam avoda da adam, ovid b'makam rabo, amrinan. Amrinan lo yitafo chamar min ha'ikar. Look, when you're doing avoda, you're doing actual temple service. So the Gemara says there, if I'm doing temple service in the courtyard, for sure I could do it in the bais itself. Right, in the house of Rabbo, in the house of his master. Here, Master capital M. Right? But when you're talking about Achila is a more selfish activity. I understand eating karbanos is a mitzvah. Eating karbanos provides kapara. But it's still eating when all is said and done. It's still Achila, it's still eating. So maybe eating in the courtyard, that's where you should be eating it. Eating it in the bias, that's inappropriate. Gemara says so you can't compare avoda to achila. Avoda, you can make the argument. If I could do avoda in the courtyard, for sure I could do avoda in the bayis. Eating, not necessarily.
Eating is not avoda. That's all point. Eating is not
avoda.
But it's
kind of... Right. Ultimately, you're right. I'm only going to be difficult because the pasuk says, v'achlu b'hem asher kupar b'hem. Meaning that eating does provide a certain amount of kapara. It's not... You're right.
Man, it may be a mitzvah, but right. There's a concept of avoda.
Correct. Okay, again, agreed. And right, you're right. Dein adam ocha b'makam rabba lo yitafu chamana meikar lo armina. Okay. Let's read the Mishnah, and then we'll stop today at the end of the Mishnah. Chatzas ha'ol ha'is ha'nasis al keren dromis ma'aravis. Okay? More focus on the mizbeach. The chatzas ha'ol of the bird chatzas. Which is offered by a woman after having given birth, or certain carbon chatzeses are a carbon olav yored, depending on your financial status. Sometimes instead of bringing an animal, which is expensive, the Torah gives an allowance to buy a bird. Not always, sometimes. Okay, chatzes of haisanasis al keren dromis maravis. That's on the southwest corner. Now look, really, the bird chatzes can be done anywhere, but the blood's going to end up there, might as well be there to do the malika. Okay. Shlosha dvarim haitza oso keren mishameshes. Now that southwest corner was popular. Popular part of the mizbeach. Three things that were done on the top, three things that were done on the bottom. Haitza keren mishameshes milamata v'shosha milamala. Milamata. Now what was done on the bottom? So in other words, you're standing on the ground of the Azara, right next to the foundation of the southwest corner. And there, three activities took place. Number one, chatas ha'of, right, your bird chatas. Number two, now, in distinction to the animal chatas, the blood was on your finger and you're walking on the top of the mizbeach and you're hitting all four koronos. Okay, good. But we're not talking about an animal, we're talking about a bird. The chatas ha'of is done in the base of the southwest corner. Number two, hagashos. All your hagashos of menachos are done in the southwest corner. We discussed that earlier. Tomorrow we'll go over the source for that. Number three, shayare hadam. After having done the zrika of all your karbanos, you have a cup full of blood left over. You go to the southwest corner and you pour it onto the base of the southwest corner. So those are the three activities that are done on the base of the southwest corner. Now, Mila Malan, what do you do on the top of the southwest corner? Meaning you have to go up the ramp and you're going to turn. Now we'll talk about that turn in just a moment, because I told you earlier today, you got to turn right. Okay? Every rule there's exceptions. Please remember. Mila Malan, Nisa Chayayin Ba'amayin Ba'ola Sa'of. So you would do your water pouring on Sukkos, your wine pouring for all your libations, for all your kabanos, and Ola Sa'of is done on the top portion of the Mizbeach. Kishihi Rabba ben Mizrach, Kishihi Rabba ben Mizrach. Now, you're not normally, for your Ola Sa'of, you're not normally in the southwest. You're normally in the southeast. However, if the traffic report came back today that there's a lot of kolanim in the southeast, so then you would be allowed, right, to ease the congestion to go and do the Ola Sa'of in the south. In the southwest, we'll talk more about that tomorrow. Kol ha'olam mizbech olam derech yamin. Now, when you go up the mizbech, you always make a right turn. But remember, always doesn't always mean always. Okay, good. Sometimes, most of the time, always means most of the time. Umakifin v'yard nederech small. So traffic always goes when you're going up the ramp, right? So you're going to be going up the east side of the ramp. And you're going to be making a right turn, and this is your direction. And Rashi says, basically, for any activity that you need to do, meaning if it's the application of the blood of the chatas, that's a no-brainer, because you're going to hit this corner, this corner, this corner, this corner. But even if it's, let's say you have to just turn over some meat on the top of the mizbeach. Okay, so just retrace your steps and go back down again. No. Once you make that right-hand turn, you're going to have to continue it with the flow of traffic, and go in a counterclockwise direction around the ramp, around the top of the mizbeach, and then head down again. Except chutz mina ola legimel elo. Except for these top southwest activities that we just described, nisachamayin, nisachayayin, and the ola sa'of. Where there, you're allowed to make a left hand turn. Right, legimel elo shayu olam yardim al ha'akev. You can go up. Make a left-hand turn, and then when you go back down, retrace your steps. You don't have to walk backwards. I don't think that's what the Mishnah means. You can retrace your steps and go back down again. Tosus points out, this has nothing to do with saving, conserving steps, right? Tosus says, we'll see later on what exactly the issue is, why you're allowed to make left-hand turns over here. Good. Stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from the Gemara. Rabbi Chananya ben Akash Amar, Ratzah Kashbach, Uzak, Yisrael, Ficha, Chirbem, Tor, Mitzvah, Shememah, Nai Chafetz, Amantzi, Ko, Yagdil, Tor, Avi, Adil.